Good morning, and welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers. I am joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. How are you?
I'm well.
You look really good.
Now I'm just suspicious.
What do I want?
What's going on? Hey, it is undeniably summer.
Oh, no lie. And you know how you can tell?
No.
The number of deer in your yard.
Hey, that's so true.
It is. So I have this thing I do with the dogs when there's a deer in the yard, a very specific noise. It's bark, 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 bark. And that means there's a deer in the yard and they run out. But do you know what Dale does? He yells, "Start the ovens." The dogs run out. Isn't that hilarious? That's his special thing to the dogs, to let him know there's a deer. Start the ovens.
Oh, my God. Dale. I wonder what you've been cooking.
Salad. Do you cook salad?
Well, I put cooked in things in salad sometimes. Oh, yeah.
I do that more in the winter, I think, than I do in the summer. But I do it in the summer, too.
Yeah.
I try really hard if I'm grilling to grill vegetables at the same time just to be, like, energy efficient.
Yeah.
And I use those cold in salads. There's a dressing that I've made before, but that I've been making that I like. And the dressing itself, you know how, like, sometimes recipes are just, I think, needlessly hard.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So this recipe, you grate a pear, and then you grate 2 cloves of garlic, and then you grate a small shallot. I mean, that's just a lot of grating, and the chances that I'm going to come out of it unscathed and not bloody just aren't that great. You know what I mean? And so I've been just putting all that in a blender.
Oh, yeah. You go.
Yeah, so just a pear.
It's probably about the same as a microplane in terms of what you get out
of it. And then it's dressing. So I really don't notice any difference when you grate something. I'm not getting a mouthfeel from that. I'm not getting crunch or anything like that. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So a pear, 2 garlic cloves, half a regular shallot, just a little bit of nutmeg, like a quarter teaspoon. I put that in the blender, and then I put in 3 tablespoons of cider vinegar. And then I drizzle in olive oil. And I don't use a ton of oil with this because of the feel of the pear, you know? But for sure, 3 tablespoons. And then probably a little more. And then salt and pepper. And it's a dressing that I like. And so
it sounds really good.
Yeah, and the original recipe was for a radicchio salad, but that's expensive.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's just so many really good greens, so I just put it on anything that's salad adjacent even.
It seems like it would also be a really nice marinade for certain things. I don't know why not.
But so many Asian marinades use Asian pear.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm sure that with the vinegar would give you the acid you need.
Yeah, and so do you need an emulsifier, or is the pulp, you know, like sometimes we would put mustard or something, or an egg yolk or whatever.
No, I think the pulp is enough.
Yeah.
From the pear.
That's what does it. Nice.
Nice. What you been making?
Well, we've had salad, and because it's so easy to do that, to do extremely delicious salad right now.
Yeah.
Everything is great. Everything you would put in a toss salad anyway is just perfect right now.
Yeah.
I made Tom a pretty authentic middle school lunch for dinner. That's what I did.
Does it have the word tots?
No, too much work.
Cutlet?
No.
Does it have the word cutlet?
No. Those are all real. I'm talking about hot dog, baked beans, and cottage cheese and pineapple.
Oh, my gosh.
I should have put it on a tray.
The Wayback Machine.
I know. I know. I was cleaning out the fridge. You know why? The thing about hot dogs is periodically Tom will, like, he'll go, I would like to have a hot dog. And then you buy a package of hot dogs, and there's 8 hot dogs.
Yeah.
And then, so now I've used 2 over the last however long. It's crazy. What do you do?
Well, I have noticed that you have 2 of the canine persuasion.
Yeah, that's true. Oh.
Yeah, because even mine, which are much smaller than yours, they don't even chew. It's the most hilarious thing. It's gone. It's just, it's like those old things, those old things that they used to have at the bank where you put that tube.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
the vacuum tubes.
I know exactly. That's what it's like.
Oh, my
But yeah,
gosh.
They don't go to waste at our
house.
Oh,
yeah. I never even thought about it.
Do you remember that time that I tried to quit Food Talk because I'd made hot dogs 3 times in 2 weeks?
Yes. And your resignation was not accepted.
I know, but none of the 7 of you protested. Nobody wrote me letters or anything.
I know.
I'm still resentful.
They're just.
I'm giving the microphone the stink eye.
Yeah, our listeners are just waiting to see how things play out.
I know.
All the time, I think. Hey, you know what I'm thinking lately? I haven't done it yet, but I do think that corn is finally reliably fabulous.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been in the test phase for about a month.
Yeah,
and now
too.
It's corn. It's reliably corn, and I am craving corn salsa.
Oh, and you make such good corn salsa.
Well, I mean, it's nothing to make. There's
but
no
it's so
cooking.
Good.
It's so good on everything.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, a little side thing with any kind of poultry.
Tell them how you make it.
It's just fresh cut corn off the cob, finely chopped red onion, finely chopped. I use serrano chili, but you could use jalapeno.
That's
you could
what I
use habanero.
Yeah.
What you know? Please yourself. Cilantro and fresh lime juice, and sometimes a little grate of lime zest if I'm feeling, you know, fancy.
And it's so pretty because it's pink with the onions and yellow with the corn and green with the jalapenos.
It's festive.
It is. It's really, really pretty. It is.
Yeah, well, I'm in the mood for that. And melon lately is getting really
Oh, we're not
good.
Done with corn, though. Settle down.
No,
so
okay.
I learned this from my grandma, and it's something that I've done for years. But when the corn isn't great, even when it's just sort of great, if you rather than steam it or microwave it or something, if you boil it and you put about 3 tablespoons of sugar in the water, it'll turn out much better. And so that's something I've done for a long, long time.
You
and it
taught
works.
Me that, and I do that reliably.
It works.
I can quit, though, now.
Yes.
For
yes.
about six weeks.
I'm late to the microphone.
That's a very good off-season or not quite season tip, for sure.
I did a thing.
Yeah.
Not a big thing. But you know how I've always made fun of that commercial for that stand mixer where they put meat in it and they shred it with the mixer and then they put a bunch of cocktails in there with the ice cubes and everything and they turn the mixer on. I mean, you know that they wouldn't just be on the walls, they'd be on the ceiling. You know, that's just not what you use a mixer for. There's so many things to use a stand mixer for. Why make a commercial of everything that you shouldn't do with it? But there was a thing on the internet, and you know how I love the internet.
Uh-huh, don't we? Oh.
Yes. And it was a recipe for chicken salad, but it was very different. And so what you do is buy a rotisserie chicken, and while it's still warm, put the meat in the mixer and mix it with the paddle, so you're shredding it with the paddle. And then you...
Does that actually work?
It did, yeah.
Okay.
But it's not how I would normally make a chicken salad. The chicken in it is pretty unrecognizable.
Okay.
Okay, so then in a blender, so you have to do a lot of dishes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in a blender, you put onions, celery, pickles, pickle juice, and you blend that up so that it's blended.
Okay.
And then you shred the chicken in the a mixer, and then you add mayonnaise and then a little bit of mustard, some paprika, and then that thing that you blended, which is the onion, celery, pickles, and pickle juice, and you blend them together and you get something that looks nothing like the chicken salad that I make, but it looks more like ham salad.
Oh, okay.
You know, like
that stuff
you'd buy in a can and spread. And so it tasted good.
It did.
It was a horrible texture. When I make chicken salad sandwiches, you know how you're always, when you have a salad like that, a sandwich like that, you're always like fighting for all the pieces that want to fall out the edges.
Yeah,
and so
of course.
Nothing fell out. It wasn't as hard to eat as a chicken salad sandwich. But man, it was just this ugly corpse color.
Oh my God.
And I think when you make chicken salad, if you put pieces of, you know, the onion and the pickles and maybe red peppers too, you know, it just at least makes it visually appealing.
Yeah.
So it was the opposite of visually appealing. But it was an interesting method, and I tried it once. I don't think I'd do it again unless I was making some kind of like fancy little finger sandwich that you want a very even layer of something in there.
Yeah.
You know?
So is it more like a pate texture?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. A little stringier. Yes.
This project lost me on the lots of dishes to wash. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Oh, no.
Because there's a stand mixer and there's a blender. That's a lot of dishes for a chicken salad. Yeah. You know, where normally you'd have a knife and a bowl, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
To wash.
Well. I'm thinking, man, I know that this is not... It is seasonal produce, but it's as far away from local as you can get. But lately, pineapple has been really good.
Yeah.
Hence, pineapple and cottage cheese.
Yeah, but those are things like pineapples and bananas. They're not even from this hemisphere. You know? Well, maybe they are, but it's one of them. But it's they're just such staples. You know.
Yeah.
Lemons.
Yeah, yeah. With pineapple, I think it's really, you know, with bananas you can get them in any state of doneness and they'll be good for something.
Mm-hmm.
But with pineapple, you really have to get a ripe one or else you've spent $5 for nothing. So
I do the sniff method and then I pull a leaf out the top.
Yeah,
what do you do to check them?
I do
them?
Too. Okay. Exactly those
like if
two
that
things.
Leaf comes out easily, you've got a good chance that it's a good pineapple.
Yeah. And if you sniff the bottom of it, and also you'll see when you pick it up, especially if it's already gold on the outside, you're checking to see if it's mildewed because sometimes they've been sitting around in the store for too long.
Too far.
But, one of my favorite stories about my dad, who loved pineapple, like ridiculously loved pineapple. And that came from his experience in the military in Hawaii during World War II when he was dropped off in a pineapple field where they had some communication. They called them cans. They had them all over the island of Oahu in different places. And they would take GIs out in trucks and drop them off to service these things and check them, and they forgot to pick him up.
Oh no!
He was in a pineapple field in Wahiawa, and he got left overnight.
Oh
and
no!
It's one of the loveliest memories that my dad had.
Oh.
Good memories during a war are more special than standard good memory. But just being left in a pineapple field with a knife. You know, it was just like heaven.
The buffet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think of him every time I get a perfectly ripe pineapple. So any plans to... You do a lot of baking, and do you bake all summer long?
I do. I think the older I get, though, I'm kind of getting away from it. I've even taken to, like, you know, faking illnesses. Oh no, my gills, they're a bit green.
Yeah, but you know, you just said that on the radio.
Oh, but what, 7 people heard?
Yeah, that's true. And none of you will tell
anyone.
Go ahead,
try to spread it around.
Yeah, that's right. Because I just am not tempted to even bake something simple like baking powder biscuits or something where they're only in there for a few minutes.
Starting up the oven is just, ugh.
Yeah, it's not appealing.
Yeah, I can chop a salad.
I will say, though, that I inadvertently murdered a regular little countertop toaster oven some time ago. Year or so ago.
Okay. Murdered.
And it had lived a long and happy life. Mm. I mean, appreciated by me. And then I discovered that you can't set things on top of your toaster oven and use it because it burns out that top element.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, I didn't either. I'm telling you. Anyway, when I went to replace it, I was seduced by this. They have these bigger countertop ovens, kind of the size of, remember when you used to be able to get a countertop convection oven?
Oh,
that
yes,
was kind
yes.
of like a big, like setting a TV on your kitchen counter.
Yes, yes.
Well, they're not that big anymore, but they do have toaster ovens that are also air fryers, convection ovens, dehydrators, blah, blah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, okay. I know. They're fabulous. And I did a bunch of research and, spent a lot more than a regular toaster oven would cost.
That's what they try to do.
But I love this thing.
Oh,
and
really?
It has kept me from having to turn on my big oven.
Okay, nice.
I hardly ever turn on my big oven anymore because there's only two of us. So I don't need the big oven for batch things anymore. I will use it for like multiple sheet pans of veg mm-hmm. or whatever, but I really like being able to just cook. I have an encounter with an opening window right behind it, and things don't get as hot and miserable in July and August.
I never thought about that plus to those, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Hey, I want to take a quick sec to remind everybody that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. And I don't know if I've ever mentioned this to you, but those two websites are worth your time. KMUN.org, NorthCoastFoodWeb.org. Go there and thank me later.
Yay. Send a card.
Yeah, that's right.
So I bought a cookbook.
What?
Shocker.
Where are you going to put it?
Oh, I know. We're going to have to add a wing. Oh, Lord. Anyway, I think what happened was I was on a blog that I like, and of course, now am I going to remember the name, but it's something like Yum, and it might be Yum Yum, and it might be Yum Yum Yum, and it might be Yum 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 Yum, but it's something like that, you know? And so I thought I was buying her cookbook, but what I think I did is I bought a cookbook that was advertised on the site.
So, in the middle of the program.
So essentially, it's just like a cookbook coming to you blind. And it's a cookbook. It's called Maxie's Kitchen. It's somebody's first cookbook, Maxine Scharf. And it's an interesting cookbook because essentially, it's just recipes she likes.
Well, that's actually, to me, the best kind.
Yeah, but it's so, like, what is a good way to say hot mess?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not a hot mess. It's not a bad thing, but it's a hot mess, like, in a good way. So, like, there'll be a recipe for spaghetti and meatballs, and then there's, like, Korean glass noodles, and then there's garlic toast, and then there's macaroni and cheese, and then there's chicken cordon bleu, and you know what, I'm not making it up. It is so all over the place, but they all look appealing, and that's kind of how you cook. I mean, you don't cook, you know, Chinese food for 30 days in a row at home, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I thought that I'd give some of our recipes a try. I haven't cooked anything yet because I just got it, and then I'm like, nothing looks like anything like the blog, or oh, I have been duped.
But it looks like that's a good production, that book. It's beautiful.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they can make the books so you want to buy them no matter what.
Yeah, I know.
I know that.
Yeah, I know.
But it's sort of like what you would write if you wrote a cookbook, you know, because it would be recipes from your restaurant. It would be recipes you like to cook at home. It would be recipes you like to cook for catering. And they wouldn't all be Italian. They wouldn't all be Asian. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just things across your life that you like. Some of them would be baking. Some of them would be appetizers. You know, it's just, and it doesn't feel like the requisite book that has the afterthought dessert section and the afterthought drink section. You know what I mean? It's not like that. It's just a bunch of stuff she likes to make. And it seemed really genuine in a way that cook's books don't very often feel very genuine
anymore. But remember Joy of Cooking?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And those were like that.
Yeah. And that's such a gigantic thing. You know? And this isn't.
Right.
So that's I guess the difference is you could look at like the gourmet cookbook and be, well, it has spaghetti and it has, but they are all those ones that are like that are absolutely gigantic.
Yeah.
And like famous. You know, just like. Yep. Anyway, so I'm kind of excited about that. I'm interested to see.
We're gonna hear about something. You have a month to try, or however many weeks to try something and get back to us on it. And congratulations on yet another cookbook, really, Linda.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Rounding out my collection.
I just emptied a shelf on a shelving unit in my office, and if I can continue to empty that, I will donate it to your.
No.
I will donate it to your cookbook collection because you probably need another shelf.
I remember once I showed up at the Warrenton Library with, I remember it was 134 of them, and it didn't even make a dent.
Oh my gosh!
It doesn't matter how many I make go away.
I bet that cookbooks are very popular at book sales. I bet they are.
I know they are with me.
You dropped off 138 and you picked up how many?
Yeah. Well, I know that some places, like there's some resale shops that won't take books except for cookbooks.
Oh.
That they just won't take any other kind of book, but people buy those.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I get it. And I used to, and I have a few cookbooks or that I never open because I have a computer. I have a phone.
Yeah.
And everything I want is right there. All my favorite cooks, all my most reliable stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. I ran into David Weber. And he's a very ambitious home cook.
Yes, he is.
And he recently retired, which means he has so much time on his hands.
Oh, my gosh.
And so this summer he's decided, I mean, I really think I'm not exaggerating if I say he's going to make every custard dessert on earth. He's got like this list. And it has to be at least 80 things long. And there's so many things I haven't heard of. And I bake, you know, I bake for a living. And just things from countries I've never heard of. Like maybe they were formed in the last couple weeks, you know.
And you know what? Maybe they were.
Just gigantic lists and all these different ways that people make custard. You know, maybe they fold some egg whites in or, you know, just all these different things that they put in them to make them unique to that.
I love custard.
Ethnicity. Yeah, I do too. I do too. I remember just plain old custard pie with some nutmeg. I can't remember even if it had cinnamon in it, but vanilla for sure.
So good.
Yeah, yeah. It really so wasn't. Good. It's such an old-timey grandma thing.
Yeah, and custard pie filling just in, you know, the little Pyrex.
Cups. Yeah, yeah. You mean custard.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Just the custard. Yeah. Why bother with the crust?
Yeah, yeah.
That's it just the gets hard part. Soggy.
Yeah.
Just give me more filling. I want all
but
filling.
But there is no less sexy pie on earth than custard pie.
No, I know.
Yeah.
No, I know. It's true. But if you're using just the custard, you can put it in a, you know, fancy stemware and it looks, you know, throw a couple raspberries on top and people think you've done something online.
You make a blueberry custard pie, don't you? Do I remember right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really good.
It is good. Any berry would be good in there, but the blueberries are, you know, they show up.
Yeah.
And they don't bleed necessarily. So that's nice. And the blueberries lately, so good.
The last couple of years have been really good.
I would like to have something to say about how I'm using them, but all I'm doing with all the berries right now is just taking the container into my office and eating them. I haven't done anything.
Blueberries were really good last year, and I bought hundreds of pounds. But then early this year, Dale, we have freezers, two of them out in the shop, and Dale had a problem out in the shop, and he said, "Hey, if you go out in the shop and the lights don't go on, you know, don't worry, I got it under control." But then about 36 hours later, I'm like, "Hey, it's not just the lights we have out in the shop." And I went there, I'm like, "No."
Did you lose all those berries?
I lost a lot of berries.
Oh, my gosh. And probably many other things.
Yeah.
I know from personal experience that you make fabulous blueberry bran muffins, but I wonder what else you're doing with blueberries.
With blueberries, you know, I like putting them in zucchini bread. I don't do that very often, but I really like pecans and pecans that you toast first, you know, and then just so it's easy to cut the bread. If you don't toast them, it's not easy to cut the bread. Pecans and blueberries, lots of blueberries and zucchini bread, and I think that that's really good.
Ooh.
I put cranberries and zucchini bread too for Christmas, and I think that's good. And then blueberries, come on, Linda. I like to eat frozen blueberries, and so something that I eat a lot is just plain yogurt with a little bit of granola mix into it, and then a bunch of frozen blueberries, and they are just good because they don't freeze like you know, teeth breaking hard.
Yeah,
they're just, it's not that they're slushy, but they are chewable.
Uh-huh.
and they're very cold, which I like, and so I eat them in yogurt so much.
I eat them in yogurt all the time, but I never thought of freezing them.
Yeah, well, and it's just because I have them in the freezer.
Yeah,
that's the easy part.
That is the thing. You have to freeze them if you want to eat them frozen. Okay, well, that's going to be a problem for me. Oh my God, food aforethought. I am getting so bad in my old age about planning ahead.
Like,
there have been times in my life where I planned ahead a week.
Yeah.
You know, I knew what was going to happen. What's in season? What am I going to cook every night?
And I have so much respect for people who can do that because then there's no waste and just no thought for the whole week. You know?
Yeah. It would make your job easier. It does make the job easier, but I don't know. That went by the wayside a long time ago. I'm like, what do you mean it makes it easier? I have to sit down and plan this. No.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, and the other thing is that then you are going to have whatever it is said you mm-hmm. said you were going to have, as opposed to what you're in the mood for that minute. So,
and I think what happened is we ended up eating less. And so then I'd make the lists, and then I would have all the stuff to make the five things when really we really just needed to make three things over that 7 days, not
yeah.
five.
Yeah.
And I think that changed
you are
it.
The queen of leftovers.
Yeah.
I really admire you for that.
Oh, well, it's because, I mean, Dale maybe doesn't want to eat it the next day, but he won't mind if it's 2 weeks away. So just yeah. whoosh, in a container in the freezer, and then whoosh, something out of the freezer for the next day.
Yeah.
That was 2 weeks ago. So it's just a lot less cooking on my part. And that's the part that I like.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good part. I think no matter how much you like to cook, I doubt that there are any cooks that don't appreciate having a streamlined system.
Yeah. Well, so, and the freezer is your friend as long as it's plugged in and the door is closed. Those are two super
hot
important
tip.
Things.
Hot tip. Take a note, everybody. We might forget to mention it again, but you make sure your appliances are plugged in. My grandma used to unplug all the appliance, everything in the, not the refrigerator, obviously, mm-hmm. And not the stove. It was gas. But she would unplug all of her, like the mixer, anything that the toaster, mm-hmm. if she wasn't using it.
Oh, really?
Even yes.
Like washer dryer?
I doubt that she would go. No, not the washer
that would be
and
hard.
The dryer.
That would be
hard. Yeah, yeah. Just any countertop appliances.
Okay.
But I never really understood why, and I never questioned her.
Well, but there's some merit to it. In 2008, we had a power surge come through our house. We had a neutral wire break, thank God, not on our property, so the power company paid for everything. But everything inside the house blew up, every single thing that was plugged into a wall, the furnace, the
oh.
electric toothbrush, the clock radio, the TV, every single thing, the dishwasher, everything blew up. And so the lights went, instead of like sometimes how lights flicker and go dim, they went super bright, dim, dim, super bright. I smell ozone. Boom. It
oh.
was really something. So that was a lot
yeah.
of money.
Yeah. So, oh, okay. Well, Grandma.
Yeah.
Way ahead of the curve. Wow. That would be so disheartening. I blithely think because I have surge protectors. That yeah. everything will be just fine.
Oh, and it probably will. Uh-huh. We didn't have a whole house surge protector. We didn't have one, but that's what we would have needed to stop that. And they're expensive. They're you
yeah.
know, thousands of dollars.
They are. The only reasonable way to do them is if you're building a house.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
then you just put it in. It's less expensive and better way to go about it. I don't know. Maybe it's the aftermarket that is so expensive, but not compared to losing everything you love.
No.
Holy cow. I worry about what might happen if my computer goes belly up. That scares me because I've given away all my books and everything
yeah.
because everything's my computer. I love it that. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And unless it disappears.
Well, and then recipe sites, something that has happened to me is a place online where I stored recipes, about.com, and it just went belly up. And so it's like everything is gone. You're like, what?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So that was a shock.
You mean Eat Your Books?
No, it was About. And so this was about.com like 15 years ago. But yeah, that was a shocker. Just because it's like grass, you take it for granted.
Yeah.
About.com will be there. It's huge.
Yeah.
And then poof.
Wow.
Gone.
Oh my gosh. We're out of time.
Oh.
I know. I'm not sure we've talked about anything.
par for the course.
But if you want to hear it again, everybody, it's on podcast. They Live Forever, Linda.
Yay.
I don't want to start thinking about that before we talk. That'll really
put a damper.
Yeah. You want to sing us out?
Okay. Red light, yellow light, green light. Red pepper, yellow pepper, green pepper. I'm driving my vegetables. I'm driving my green edibles. I'm driving my vegetables around. Good Lord, I started this song low. Driving my broccoli, driving my cauliflower, driving a bushel of corn home.
Thank you, Linda.
Bye, Marianne.